But we begin with, and, you know, the sheriff is so happy that none of those Heat players got out of line while they were staying in our city. And so they did not have to stay in the dank, dark, old, built back in 19-aught-something Marion County Jail. And this morning, the sheriff and members of the court system, along with Mayor Ballard, announced plans for a brand-new criminal justice complex that would combine in one edifice, one building, the jail, the arrestee processing center, the criminal courts, the juvenile courts, the juvenile jail, probation, public defender, community corrections, the prosecutor's office, and goodness knows, I probably at least got to have a Starbucks in here. And the key deal is, where are they going to put it? How they're going to pay for it? And then part of the controversy is letting the private sector build it and develop it and charge it rent. And that raises a whole lot of sand. But the sheriff is very excited about this. No joke, because this could be a new state-of-the-art 21st century jail. Sheriff John Layton is in the house. Brother Deslin is also here because he understands finance. Maybe he can kind of explain to me how this deal would work. Sheriff, welcome.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to be here, Amos.
The jail that you were in charge, how old is that thing now?
1965 is when they put the first brick up. It's been a long ride for that jail. And you know, you have to think that that's about 15 or 20 years before the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine the lack of technology that's in that jail. It was great for the day.
Mm-hmm.
But with what's out there today and the things we can take advantage of to help keep the inmates safe, the deputies safe, and the public at large is safe, I'm much safer from escapes and these kind of things. It makes a lot of sense.
We have been talking I've been here 39 years. We've been talking in Indianapolis at least that long about a combined justice center.
Yes.
From your point of view, what would it do? Has this discussion got to the point where somebody has actually started blueprints to figure out how much square feet would be a new Marion County jail in this building?
No. We haven't even gotten that far yet. This is such the genesis. Today was simply the announcement that we're going to go forward and do some research, investigation, and look into some of the possibilities. But I think the mayor and I both were dedicated to the fact that there'll be inclusiveness with all the different aspects of life in Marion County from all four corners, and let everyone have a say-so. And if, you know, for instance, I had 40 of our most esteemed ministers in my conference room on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and talking with them about it, and they had some wonderful ideas that came up.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, one of the main concerns is transportation to and from wherever this new campus may be.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know that yet. We have some ideas, but there's as many as 30 different locations that have been identified that it could be at. And we're going to, throughout the investigation of this and study of this, we will then come up with the best location it could possibly be with all things considered, including the transportation for those who may not find it very easy to get anywhere but downtown.
I remember how concerned people were when IPS and some other school districts said they wanted to put 7th and 8th graders in the same building with high school to merge middle school and high school. And there was all kind of issues raised about the 7th and 8th grade kids are too young to be hanging with the high school kids. Let me ask you, as a law enforcement professional, putting the adult jail in the same proximity, it might be in the same proximity as the juvenile jail or the juvenile detention center. First of all, does that occur in other counties across the country? Because obviously here we've never had that. Or if we have, it's been eons since those institutions were together.
Well, first and foremost, there's federal mandates on sight and sound between adults and juveniles. Without a doubt, obviously we're going to go 100% with those mandates. But that's just common sense to keep the two separated in a tremendous fashion. But the design of the building can do that.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak today, we have juveniles that have been adjudicated to the adult courts. We have them in Marion County Jail 1, which is the worst jail of the several that we have in Marion County. They hold the worst of the worst offenders or people who have been accused of offenses. And we do have juveniles in there under the age of 18, obviously. And, you know, we figure out ways to do it and stay within the federal mandates. And this will be no different. But it is a concern. And that's one of the things that one of the hundreds of things that will be on the table that will have to be worked out. But to me, honestly, I've said this before, it's not a problem. That's not a problem. But we just have to find the solution ahead of time. Therefore, that's why I'd like to visit a couple of the cities now. I don't know of a facility that will have quite this much under one roof. Mm-hmm. I know there's places that have the jail and maybe the police station at the other end, and the prosecutor and the sheriff are in the same building, and they may even call it a criminal justice center. But to have all of these entities under one roof, but you know, it does make sense. But to do that, but it'll take some visits. Because I don't, and I'm sure the mayor's office is with me on this, it's not a matter of seeing how they build it and to copy them and invent their wheel as well. But it's also to make sure that we find out what pitfalls they came up against and not to make those mistakes as we go ahead, because mistakes are money. And we're kind of tight around here lately, as you know.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. What sheriff roughly, because right now the jail facility, does the sheriff's department physically own that property? Does the city-county building authority own it? Who owns we know ultimately the taxpayer owns it. Who is the entity responsible for owning that physical facility?
The building authority of Indianapolis owns the property and the building. We're simply renters.
So you pay rent?
Yes.
So there's rent that's in your budget that goes to that?
Comes out of my budget.
So as part of the dollars and cents you have to look at, because we talked earlier off the air, and you believe that with a new state-of-the-art, all the bells and whistles, electronics and what have you, jail, you could reduce some of the cost of people needed to watch everything in the jail. So are you going to be looking at the cost of the rent you're already paying, plus whatever your personnel costs are in the jail, and that's your bottom line number? You don't want that rent to be any more than that?
I don't want it to be any more than that. Of course not. You know, there's several different factors that will be added into this equation when we're talking about financing such an endeavor. You know, the property that the Marion County Jail 1 sits on right now is...
that's some hot property.
Yeah, I won't say priceless. But it's close. Mm-hmm. Jail 2, the APC at this time, the money it takes to run the APC as well as Jail 1, all of those, and on an annual basis, all of those are factored in here as far as being able to find the opportunity money-wise to build a facility like this. So it's all going to be part of this ongoing investigation and people getting around the table and figuring out how we can do it. But I will tell you this, no new taxes can be used for this facility. And I think everyone is on the same page when we come to that.
That this has to be a revenue neutral.
Absolutely.
One of the other things is right now we got Jail 1, the existing Marion County Jail. We got Jail 2, the warehouse is over there off of Market Street.
Right.
In the proposal the mayor's office is talking about, that you all are talking about, would the sheriff then be running all of the incarcerated units in this new judicial center?
As we go into the very beginning of this, that is assumed. Mm-hmm. But again, we will be looking at all the options to run this new center and the juvenile area at the most economic yet safe way to do it. So I can't promise that's going to be. That is definitely one of the top options is for the sheriff's deputies to run the entire facility as far as the incarceration part.
Right.
But that can change as we go through this process.
Are the contracts that you have with the private operator that's running Jail 1 and Jail 2, the privatized jails, Are they such that are those long-term contracts, do they, because the city would love this thing to be done by 2018.
Right.
Does that give you wiggle room to get out of those contracts?
Yes. Yeah.
Without any penalty?
Yeah. I'm going to refer to Lieutenant Colonel Deslin on the contract, and I think that's
the contract 2016 will expire coincidental with the completion of this
facility. Is that right?
Yeah. So
they do.
It works out perfectly.
Yeah.
So that would, because you know, in a contract, if it ain't time to break it, then all kind of heck, it costs, you know.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we'll have that problem. But as you know, Jail 1 is actually not a private jail. It's run by the Marion County Sheriff's Office. And sheriff deputies are in there. Jail 2 is run by CCA. And CCA is a private company that has jail guards at that facility.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Athens' name, so you can send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. Is anybody, well, obviously you know people who, you know, have been locked up in your facility. You know what side of town they lived on at the time they arrested. Has there been any study in terms of, or is this, should this be a part of the study to look over the last 8, 9, 10, 15 years at the zip codes where people lived who were incarcerated in the jail or who were brought up on, you know, on charges, to really look at what is the impact which could influence location?
No, probably for the reason of technology nowadays. We do look at zip codes as far as crime mm-hmm. goes, as you know, but as far as the location, and here's the reason. With a new state-of-the-art jail,
right.
I hope to see the day when an unfortunate mother whose son or daughter is in the Marion County Jail, that they can sit in their living room and visit from on the website,
right.
Or they could put money in the commissary from a website from all over the world, actually, not just down the street.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I'm talking about with new technology. I hope that this center, and I envision this center, to make it much more convenient for those outside of the jail to be able to show their love and to visit, to make sure economically these people have what they need on the inside of the jail, not have to come all the way downtown, not have to go to the Chevrolet plant where the Chevrolet plant is now or some other location that has been mentioned to do this and find parking and pay for parking. Make it simply, very simple. Those who cannot, don't have a computer in their home for some reason or another, their local library would be opened up for that. And hopefully we can have a partnership with the library that if someone needs help getting on a computer to do their visiting. I mean, and that's free parking. That's right down the street from their home. All these things with the new technology can be done with this new criminal justice center.
I want to go back to your current landlord, the building authority.
Yes.
If the heat isn't working in a part of your building, because your offices are also, you know, where the jail
yes.
is. So if your heat isn't working, who do you call? Do you call the landlord?
Building authority, yeah. Okay. We call the building authority.
So in part of this, whoever this private operator that thinks they can build this multi-million-dollar building, make a profit on it, and then be profitable upon the rent, which will be not outrageous, mm-hmm. would that landlord be responsible for, you know, if the heat's not working in your office, fixing the heat, if the closed circuit TV isn't working, they're fixing the closed circuit, those kinds of issues?
As it stands right now, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
What it will look like with this building's over with, I can't tell you for sure, but I can tell you one thing's for sure. It would be the most economically, it'll be the only way to go. And as far as the work being done, I'm not in that ballpark of property management.
Right.
I'm in public safety, so I can't really comment too much on whether there would be a landlord after the developer builds it and then it's turned over to a landlord who puts money into it. I'm not sure how that'll all work out. And I think I'll leave that to the powers that be at the mayor's office to figure all that out with the with our fiscal office.
As I understand it, the information that they, you know, released this morning was to issue a request for qualifications. And as I understand it, that's for people to write in and say, businesses, we think we're qualified to do this. Are you, who will be looking at the qualifications, whether these developers have any experience building correctional institutions? I mean, anybody can build an office building. And anybody can say on paper, I built an office building. I've either built a high rise or I built a low rise. But they ain't a lot. Come on now. It's like stadiums. There's not a lot of people that say they have built a correctional institution.
No, there are more than you would think out there that have built correctional institution jails. There's several companies who have done that. There again, it's going to be a pretty good sized round table that we all look at this because. Although I have no idea what judges need, they have no really good clue of what a correctional facility needs. So it's going to take pretty much the entire village of city, county government to be around that table. Anyone that's going to be involved, a stakeholder in this building, to be able to sit around the table and come up with these things of what we have to have and what we need, what we want. Will be two different things.
Is this also has to be a building with a lot of, I don't want to say secret passages. That's not what I mean, but non-public passages. You gotta, you gotta have, you know, ways of getting, you know, adult prisoners from where they need to be to their courtrooms. Juvenile prisoners, they got to take a different route. You got to have a route. One of the reasons we need a justice center is to have jurors standing out in the elevator lobby at the city county building close to where a trial is. That has always been a disaster waiting to happen. That Absolutely. Is crazy. So there's got to be a place for juries to hang and that their security is protected. So is part of it also developers that have experience building a building that have all these secret passageways?
Absolutely. And they do have that experience throughout the country. I'm very encouraged by what I've seen so far. And that's just through things like the National Sheriff's Association, talking to some other sheriffs from across the nation who have built new jails, what they've learned. But exactly what you're talking about, some of the issues that we see today that we want to avoid in the future, make it safer for all people involved within a complex like this, be they inmates or the general public or the deputies and police officers themselves.
Should some of these discussions have occurred before this announcement of we want to put out a request for qualifications, they're due in 2 months, and then we'll have a final selection of a plan to introduce to the council in September? It seems to me some of these other questions should have already been answered. Some of this other research should have been done, both from the correctional side of it, the law enforcement side of it, the protection side of it, as well as what do you put in the courtroom, what else? And then you can get to the other questions like, do you put a restaurant or a Target on the first floor so the developer makes some money? I'm still trying to figure out how the developer makes his money.
Well, I'm in public safety business. I don't know much about the developers.
You're just the sheriff guy.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that we have the safest and most economical at the same time and professional jail we can possibly have for the people of Marion County. But I do hear what you're saying. As far as the timing of everything, I truly believe, and this is just my opinion, that everything has to have a genesis. Mm-hmm. And there has been some study. There's been enough study done that now it's time to bring it out. And the stakeholders were all involved earlier than today, mm-hmm. believe me. They all knew about it, and they all have had some input. But, you know, nothing is done until you can at least identify where a source of money may come from. Mm-hmm. And I think, although that's not in stone either, we have a pretty good idea of how it can be done now, which has never happened before.
Right.
This has fallen through a few times before, or even smaller projects like just a new jail has fallen through, simply because of the funding and the fact that this county, as many counties, most counties across the nation right now, we're kind of strapped. Mm-hmm. But and the last thing anyone wants to do is raise taxes, and we're going to refuse to do that and bring in new tax money to do this. So as soon as the money was somewhat identified, I think that was the genesis of going forward. Okay, this can be done now, we believe. We truly believe that.
Let me go to Deborah at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. Hi, Sheriff Layton. How are you today?
Hello, Deborah.
Good. I'm a little bit concerned because I know I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I'm just riding in my car. I was in a meeting, and one of the judges that was in one of the courts, I'm not going to mention the name, we were discussing this thing, and he was concerned. They hadn't told them anything about it, and they were concerned that they were pushing it toward the airport. And then we were very concerned about how will the people get back and forth to the airport for court, you know, the witnesses and all of that. So, you know, I'm hoping that the community comes out and is concerned and puts their input in this because, you know, sometime in our city we have a tendency to not know about things until it's actually done. Done deal.
Right.
We need the questions answered for us.
Well, as your sheriff and I think all the parties concerned around the round table making decisions want that same thing. I think there's no doubt in my mind that we want input from the entire city, from faith-based business community, from everyone, and your voice itself. We want it heard. We have looked at that. We have heard that concern. The judges have been brought in on this now. As a matter of fact, Judge Serto was one of the main speakers this morning from the judicial community, and I think the judges are pretty well satisfied. You know, I still even have a few questions about this, so I can't imagine that everyone doesn't have a few questions, but those questions can be answered. As far as transportation, wherever it might go, again, that will be... Those kind of things will be figured out and solutions will be met. But there's several opportunities, whether it's with Indigo, which is a fantastic situation to move people around this town. They do such a tremendous job. I know there's been talk lately about light rail. Who knows where this may take this community. But I choose to look at it as a very positive, that it's going to be job growth. I may lose a few deputies because of technology. I won't need quite as many jail deputies, that's for sure, with the new technology. But at the same time, there's going to be job growth, not only in the construction of such a facility, but then afterwards, the aftermath, once it's up, with opportunities within the building, opportunities around the complex with restaurants. And I just think it's a win-win all the way around. But believe me, transportation to and from will be a big concern as we go through. That's probably one of the biggest concerns that I've heard so far.
239-1310, 239-1310 this afternoon's name is. I understand that at the press conference this morning, there seemed to have been this feeling, not from you, I'm assuming it was from the mayor, that we need to let the market decide the locations, let these so-called developers decide where they feel the facility ought to be built. And I'm a little suspicious that these are the same developers that have not invested in neighborhoods like around Eastgate, have not invested in areas in the older areas of our city, have not invested in the Lafayette Square area and a lot of other places. So why would we depend on people who have ignored neighborhoods in our city to determine where this thing ought to go?
Well, there'll be a lot of folks around that table besides the developers themselves. And I think we've seen a couple of situations in not so long ago past but here in Marion County that we've learned lessons from. And although developers can have ideas, they can advise. They can't choose. Mm-hmm. It'll take the powers to be from the mayor's office and the people, the stakeholders that are going to be in this building to actually make the final decisions here. And it'll be a collective final decision. This will not be done in a silo. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee the transparency of this. If it wasn't a transparent situation for the people to be able to see as we go and ask questions as we go, I definitely wouldn't be involved in it myself.
Given that this is bipartisan, should there be agreement to increase the minority, particularly the minority business goal? You know, because I'm sick and tired of this 15% when the minority community, Black and Latino, is growing. So should this be something where at minimum, the goal ought to be 20% minority participation on this project with an ultimate goal of 25%?
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. It has to.
And you know there's going to be pushback from the other side.
Well, you know, yeah, there's pushback on everything we do. But if the right people in the right spots push that, I'll push it the other way.
Let me go to Reverend Ajabu right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
I'm fine.
And the best sheriff in the nation. How you doing?
Oh, thank you very much, sir. You're so kind.
No, I'm so real. I actually had three issues. One, concerning the contract with CCA, do they have a capacity clause that they have to be a certain percentage full, or else the city has to pay for the empty beds?
Let me answer that one before we go on. Okay. There's a contract with CCA for 1,025 inmates. If it goes over 1,025 inmates, let's say it goes to 1,101, then we pay for 76 extra inmates. But if it goes under, well, the contract is for 1,025, and that's we still pay the 1,025. Now, with the contract still in force until 2018 or thereabouts, there are chances and there are opportunities that we can go back to the table if we start seeing the population go down. Unfortunately, as of late, that hasn't happened. And when I say as of late, I'm not talking about the last few days. I'm talking about the last few years. It seems to be creeping up constantly. So I don't know if that would be economically feasible, but it's something we believe me, continually look at to make sure that we're getting the best bang for the buck as far as our inmate population goes at CCA.
Okay, thank you for that answer. It concerns me that exists because it gives an incentive to keep those beds full, and you might get some unnecessarily aggression and enforcement out here. But my second question is that in looking at this complex, and Amos just brought up a very good point that tags on to the point that I want to make here. Just like that you can set aside 20-25% minority, and I like to use the word people of African descent, participation, could you not do the same thing with, and I say returned citizens, people that have gotten out of prison, returned back here to the society, trying to put their life in order? Could you not also have and they don't like this word, but I'm going to say, I ain't going to say quota, but a set aside, to where is that a certain number of people who have been previously incarcerated could actually be in a program to get trained and to, out of that training, get employed in this project as it goes forward.
Ah, that's a great point. Yeah, maybe not sure on. There may be some restrictions on the building of the parts that are the secured area this building, but it would seem to me on the other part, that's a great suggestion.
Absolutely.
That is an excellent thing. And since I know they're listening in the mayor's office, y'all can come up with the answer when we talk to you on the program tomorrow.
Now, let me say one more thing. I also heard that you had a meeting with some ministers. And at that meeting, I think it's apropos that you bring Reverend Byron Vaughn, who is the president of Prisoners Reform United, because that kind of input from people who have actually experienced the justice system from inside the walls, I think would be an extra voice, an added voice, to raise that situation that I just raised, whereas that we let everybody become whole after they have paid for their mistake if they have made one.
Let me let
the sheriff respond.
Yeah, not only that, but who better to tell us what they've experienced in these jails about the country and even within the Marion County Jail itself that that they believe could be made better. Not that the jail will ever be a Taj Mahal, but you know we do strive to make sure the jail is extremely humane, and that we were under a court order for 35 years. We were under a federal mandate on that jail, and we're proud that that's been lifted now, and we continue forward. So who better to ask than the people who have to live in there 24 hours a day just to get some technical advice from those folks. So you're absolutely right, but reentry is on the minds of everyone involved in this, and I'm sure reentry is going to be a big part of this new building.
All right, Sheriff John Layton, appreciate it. Thank you. And we don't see you. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. It's going to be good.